You're listening to Around Comics, episode 244, brought to you by InStockTrades.com and Netflix. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you are in the area, please drop by. Hey there, folks. Christopher Niesman here. Get you introduced to this very special panel. We are at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles for our little comic book podcast companion post-launch get-together. Woo! And we have the author of said book, a returning guest of the show, Mr. Eric Houston.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Thanks for making the trip down from beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Well, hey, thanks for hosting this. I mean, there's a bunch of people here already.
It's great.
This is crazy.
The electricity, it's tangible in the air. It's crazy. Speaking of other states in the Upper Midwest, we have our good friend, longtime friend of the show, and a pioneering podcaster who came in from Detroit, Michigan, Mr. Chris Marshall from the Collected Comics Library.
What's up? It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. It's good. It's always good to see you, man. You're one of my favorite people in general, in or outside of podcasting.
We're around comics.
Around comic book podcasting. It's always good to see you, Mr.
I'm the
Marshall.
Spokes on the wheel of Around Comics. I'm there.
You left lug nut.
There you go. I'll take it.
The left lug nut of the wheel of Around Comics. And back from his walking of the earth.
Yes. I discovered myself.
Back from Vegas is Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello. Hello.
It's good to see you again.
Well,
like I haven't seen you every day at work.
Good seeing you too.
Welcome back. But we have
the magnetism between you two is freaking me out.
Dude, old married couple. Our other Around Comics.
Perpetuating that.
Speaking of married couples, our other Around Comics regular, Mr. Tom Caters, is, I believe, finalizing some marriage plans. He is with his.
The bachelor party.
I don't know if that's this weekend, but I haven't been invited.
Neither was I.
But Tom is with his lovely fiance, I believe, in Detroit. So you guys have switched places,
really?
Chris. Yeah.
Tom's idea.
Is he at the Kid Rock concert?
I don't believe that he is at the Kid Rock concert.
Tom's idea of a bachelor party is sitting around with a six-pack of High Life and reading old Flash comics. So.
Yeah, with the malt. Yeah, with a Brewers game on in the background.
I don't know. We're missing a lot.
This is the Flash wedding issue here.
Yeah.
Honey, we should have it just like this. But the belt's not right. It's the wrong lightning bolts. Before we get totally going here, I want to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is brought to you, as always, by InStockTrades.com. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, omnibus editions, absolute editions, showcases, archives, everything collected at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do, in fact, ship for free. And right now, they are sponsoring our book club selection, which is the Justice League International Volume 1. And it is discounted a phenomenal 47% off the cover price. That comes to you at a low, low price of $9.54. So check that out. And once we get the whole gang back together here, hopefully in a couple weeks, we'll record that episode. So you've got probably about 3 weeks or so before you need to have that all read up. And we'll be talking about the bwahaha of the Giffen, DeMatteis, and Kevin Maguire Justice League International. And,
that's a great run. How far does that trade go?
For 6 issues.
So through like the Purple Man store? Or not Purple Man.
No,
Gray Man.
Yeah, it's the we'll talk about it on the book club, but it's the whole UN thing and then the people that are trying to disarm all of the nuclear weapons in the earth. So good stuff. So looking forward to that. Another big thanks to all the folks at Discount Comic Book Service and In Stock Trades for their 10th anniversary sale. I have a mountain of books to get through now, so I've got enough to keep me busy for a while. You can, speaking of In-Stock Trades, I think you can order the Comic Book Podcast Companion through In-Stock Trades. I know you can get it through their sister site at DCB Service. So let's talk about the Comic Book Podcast Companion a little bit, and we'll talk about some other comics as well. But first of all, Eric, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
The last time we talked to you in Dark Tower here was whenever we did the interview that would eventually be in the Comic Book Podcast Companion.
That is not true.
Is it?
We talked once. We talked a couple of months ago.
Oh my gosh, you were back
for the pre-order.
Oh, that's
for the Comic Book Podcast Companion.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure it was a memorable experience for you too.
Drink up.
Yes, I only have another beer. Sal, why don't you talk to Eric while I hide in shame over here in the corner?
How's it going, Sal?
Good. How you doing?
I'm okay.
So have you now that it's been, you know, how long has it been since the book came out? Like 2 months, 3 months?
Since the book came out, it's been about a month, I think.
Oh, it's only been a month?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's been exactly a longer.
No, I just mean that I swear it came out longer than that ago, but okay. So have you been able to reap all the benefits of being a famous, rich,
have no idea.
Comic book podcast writer?
You have no idea. The women alone have made this all worthwhile.
Well, you know, he does answer the phone as New York Times best-selling author Eric Houston now.
I do. It's a lie, but no one seems to care.
Nobody reads that.
Nobody does the research.
Yeah. No, but the sales have been pretty strong on it so far.
Sales have been pretty strong. I believe it sold out from Amazon, and they've had to reorder. I know that – actually, I went to my local comic book shop to see it on the shelf the Wednesday it was released. I got there at about noon on Wednesday, and they were already sold out of the half dozen or so copies they'd ordered.
Great.
So
fantastic! Have you been keeping up with any of the other podcasters after the release? You know, it's everybody in the book for anyone that hasn't picked it up yet. You've got Around Comics, Word Balloon,
and a bunch of other guys,
and then everyone else.
I drove in for this shit.
Yes. Collected Comics Library
and a bunch of
Tomorrow's podcast.
The Tune In, yes.
Comic Book Queers, Crankcast, iFanboy, of course, Pipeline Podcast, Comic Geek Speak, and did I mention QPOC, Quiet Panelologists at Work? And then I mentioned some other podcasts in there as well. So you keep in touch with the other podcasters?
Yeah, I try to keep in touch with all you dudes.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, everybody seems to be enjoying the book so far. Sal, you know, on the fence, but everybody else.
I just haven't had an opportunity to go through the whole.
I'm just teasing you, Sal.
I read my parts.
I read everything that said Sal.
Yeah, I kind of skipped over. I like that you put in the name so then I could skip over Chris's and Tom's commentary and just read mine.
What I was thinking. Yeah.
But no, I'll get to it. I just, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot for $16. It's a lot of book.
It is a lot of book, and that's what I'm going for. $16, you're not going to get this much book for $16 anywhere else.
That's right.
So you can
don't laugh at me.
So you can check it out In Stock Trades and Amazon. And you can actually get it through the Tomorrow site.
You can get it at tomorrows.com, tomorrows.com. And if you use the coupon code podcast 40 off, that's podcast40OFF.
Mm-hmm.
All one word. You'll get the book for 40% off. That's under $10. And you'll get a free color digital edition of the book when you do that.
Which is cool.
Jeez,
so that's awesome. That is a deal.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what's we've talked about the book before. You know where to get it, and we don't want to spoil anything else in the book. But you know, I thought this would be an opportunity. We very rarely turn the mics around on ourselves, I guess, so to speak, and talk about, you know, comic book podcasting and where it started and where it's come and where we think it might go. So this you know, with Chris here and then Eric is kind of an objective observer, kind of talk about podcasting a little bit and our kind of remembrances of what we've gone through in the last, you know, 3.5, 4, what, Chris, almost 5 years?
5 years, yeah.
Yeah, well, so yeah. It's,
what was wrong with you?
You were
lonely.
You were one of the, I want to say, first 3 or 4 podcasts?
Well, Neil had his,
mm-hmm.
and then Augie, and then myself, and then CGS.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, it just kind of sprung from there. And it's kind of fun because we all started at the same time from different parts of the country, and we've all become friends throughout the years, and we've all become pretty good at what we do. The early podcasters they haven't really pod faded, except for a few here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But we've gotten better and better over the years.
We hope so.
And that's what I find what's kind of cool. The early podcasters have really kept it together, whereas some of the new podcasters, they're lost in the big bowl of soup as mm-hmm. it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some of them have found their way out, but others haven't. But the ones that have, I think, have been the ones that have been centered around the creative process, like Scotty's podcast, like Crank and Norton's podcast. Mm-hmm. I think that has really come out. You know, they started a lot later, but that's what you're going to find more artists and writers getting into, mm-hmm. you know, a vehicle. Not, you know, they first started out coming on our programs, but then they realized, hey, we can do it too. And this is
Mark Wade's got one,
right?
Yeah.
And I just found out from, I think it was you, or Ron, I think it was Ron, mm-hmm. that Alex Robinson's got one now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool, you know?
It's kind of funny to, not funny, it's very interesting to see how all of the social networking and mm-hmm. podcasting has really evolved as not just a marketing tool, but, you know, certainly that, but a communication tool as well. Now you see, you know, Twitter obviously mm-hmm. has exploded with the amount of comic book creators that use Twitter to, you know, just kind of, you know, bullshit back and forth, but also promote their work. And that's how I found out about the Alex Robinson podcast, mm-hmm. how I found out about the Mark Wade podcast.
Exactly.
And I've always kind of wondered why more creators didn't get involved in doing their own podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's time consuming. I don't know what the real, you know, benefit big picture would be, but you look at something, you know, like in Portland with Periscope Studios, or, you know, Kansas City with the Atomic Revolver, you know, mm-hmm. kind of virtual studio almost. And for those guys to maybe look at podcasting as a way to promote, you know, or just, you know, entertain.
But even those guys, they don't need to do it weekly like we do,
mm-hmm.
you know, or coming out on a Wednesday like we do. They could do it at their leisure because they will have their sustained audience because they've got a core audience already. So when they want to put it four out in a week, or if they want to put out once every 3 weeks, they're going to have that audience.
Absolutely.
Which is, that's what is, I don't think they realize that yet, but a few of them do.
Well, and the thing is too, I think, is it's not just valuable for them as a marketing tool and stuff, but what's nice for us as the listeners is, like, I can't tell you how much I've learned about how the comic industry works just from listening to the Crankcast. Like, Mike and Crank will go on and on about how their show shouldn't even be considered a comic book podcast because maybe not in every episode.
Professional. 5 years.
5 years.
Podcasting.
Can't keep together.
Sorry, go ahead.
Getting back to what I was saying.
Edit.
Edit, yes.
What was I say? But as much as they say that they're not a comic book podcast, they really are, because it does give you that window into what the day-to-day of being a comic book creator is like. And I remember growing up, the only window I had into that was Wizard, and there would occasionally be an article about, like, what Joe Madureira's life is like. And apparently that involves a lot of video games. But it was really interesting to me to see that, you know, Mike's life doesn't involve that. Mike's life involves a lot of wanting to go to a movie, and he can't because he's got to work on Green Arrow.
Yeah, I think the podcasting has given comic book fans a little bit of insight into the comic book industry. And, you know, certainly I don't think that we ever had this amount of access to interviews, certainly not audio interviews whenever we were growing up. I would have loved to have been able to listen to some of the guys that I idolized as a comic book fan growing up.
Exactly. And I mean, this stuff's not going anywhere. It's on the internet, so you're going to be able to find it. And just imagine, like I've said this to Mike before, what if Jack Kirby had a podcast where he and a friend just once a week sat down and just shot the breeze for an hour? Those would be amazing to listen to today.
Well, I think part of the problem, or part of the reason you might not see so many creators doing podcasts about comic books, is because, I mean, two reasons. One, it's like you sit and
they want to get the hell away from it for a while.
Yeah. Right. And the other thing is, I mean, realistically, the opinions that they're going to be able to give on stuff is going to be limited because they work in an industry where
everybody knows.
You can't badmouth somebody that you may work with or work for at some point, you know, or you can't, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe that's part of the reason, you know, those two things kind of are part of the reason you don't see so many people, so many creators doing podcasts. But
well, yeah, and I agree with that.
They work a lot.
Yeah, and I agree with that absolutely. But I mean, that's kind of why, not to keep going back to the Crankcast, but I mean, that's where I think that show works, because it's not always about comics, but because that is their life, it keeps coming up. And the same with Scotty Young's podcast. It's, you don't need to, you know, they don't sit down to say, okay, we're going to talk about Astro City this week. They sit down to, so they can talk about whatever weird ass movie Crank stole off the internet most recently. And then, oh, it had, then, you know, for, it just so happens that for 10 minutes they talk about lettering.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, it's, you know, looking at it with, I mean, these are all basically audio fanzines in one way,
absolutely.
In one way or another. And you look at, you know, Marvel has a podcast and DC has a podcast, and I'm sure that they do.
They do.
Yes, they sort of do.
Yes, they do.
Sort of, I'm not sure that Marvel and DC know they have a podcast.
But I mean, you'll get, you know, sometimes it's a DC Nation panel, sometimes it's an interview with creators,
sure,
or a new creative team. But I think that listeners out there are much more interested in other fans' opinions of stuff and the chemistry that gets built up in shows over time. You know, people listen to the Crankcast because they like listening to Mike,
sure,
and Crank. And it's not necessarily because they're a Green Arrow, Black Canary fan, or
right,
you know, or whatever.
I mean, but I think there's still there's a, for lack of a better term, a market for the more creator centric show. Anyway, I mean, that's what Word Balloon is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, I mean, you guys deal with that from time to time. Comic Geek Speak deals with that from time to time. And I think it's a shame that Marvel and DC, who have arguably much better access to these people than any of us do, that they don't take advantage of that. And the only time we hear anything, especially from the DC front and podcasting, is just when they have hosted a panel. And while it's great to hear those, it would be also nice to be able to hear an interview with, like, Bill Willingham in January.
Sure.
There's nothing going on.
Chris, have you gotten feedback from creators that whenever you would talk about a certain collected edition, and that's one of the things I love about your show, is that you focus on a very specific subject, and that is, you know, all things collected. Mm-hmm. And whenever, and we're talking about Collected Comics Library, do you get creators that will, you know, get in touch with you or talk to you at a convention if you've talked about a collected edition?
There are publishers, the small press ones, yeah, are interested,
exactly,
in getting it out. And that's, I don't hear from Marvel or DC or even Dark, right, Horse, but I got a good relationship with Joe Keating at Image,
mm-hmm,
Joe Ryban over at Dynamite. Of course, what I do with Tomorrow's.
Chris Ryle at IDW.
Chris, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the smaller publishers get it. And when they want, I mean, they don't come on my show, obviously, all the time, but periodically they do. Fantagraphics is another one that I've reached out to. Top Shelf with Chris, mm-hmm,
Staros
over there.
Absolutely.
Chris is very, he supports everybody's show, really. It's great.
I want Chris Staros to adopt me.
Yeah.
I want to be Chris Staros' son.
Yeah.
How weepy.
That's not weird at all.
I love,
you'll, right, have to move.
Yeah.
Well, once again, I think that goes back to what Eric was saying, is about, you know, the affecting, you know, it's the, how many numbers can we affect as a podcast? How many?
Exactly.
To top shelf,
right,
selling, you know, extra 25 books is a big deal.
I mean,
right.
And the truth is when I was talking to people for the book, the thing I kept hearing is that nobody knows what appearing on a podcast does to affect the sales of a book.
It's really hard to quantify.
It's really hard to quantify. And not to sound like a total shill, but I mean, that's a good reason to pick up my book, because it will
right,
help to prove that.
It will help quantify.
Well, I think you can kind of look at it as sort of, you know, with the other social marketing things out there, like Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, whatever else. I think that helps to create a buzz, because, mm-hmm, what ends up happening a lot of times is something comes out, it gets mentioned on this podcast, then it gets mentioned on another one, then it gets mentioned on another one, and a buzz is created of a certain book, and you see that time and time again.
It's like I know three books. You guys are talking about Asteroid's Polyp, The Nobody, and the new Parker novel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wrote about it on my blog this week and my podcast about it. This week, or the past couple weeks, that's all we've been talking about. It's talk about a buzz. People are really buzzed about those books.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's exciting.
And I mean, you guys all record shows, but I mean, I, especially before I wrote this, was just a listener. And I, many times I would, I was picking up books because I heard you guys talking about them. And one in particular, Nixon's Pals, mm-hmm. That Joe Casey and Chris Burnham did, I think last year. I heard about it on Around Comics, and I heard about it on Word Balloon, and I heard about it on Crankcast.
Well, that's because Burnham's a whore.
Well, right. Oh,
where's the bell? I'll get the bell.
Okay. But I mean, it literally wasn't until the third time I heard it mentioned on a podcast that I said, you know, I should order that.
Right.
You know? And so, yeah, that does totally helps, at least when you're trying to sell to me.
Well, there are many examples of those. Yeah. You can talk about.
We actually named that the Burnham bell.
Ooh.
But, I mean, I can roll off my tongue, too. Well, maybe one I just forgot. The Roberts and the one where what is it? It's the city in the whale. What is that?
Oh, Guttsville?
Guttsville. That's another one. Yeah, you guys were talking about that as well.
Yeah, apparently that didn't help enough.
Yeah, that's pretty much done.
Well, was that a sales thing or a creative thing? I don't know.
I have no idea. But okay. Believe me, if it sold in the tens of thousands, it probably...
Right. If it was selling X-Men numbers.
Yeah, but a couple books that we latched onto in the course of doing Around Comics that, you know, I hope that we made some sort of the needle move on it is The Damned and Exterminators. Those are two books that I think we all really
enjoyed. And those are two books that I started reading because I heard about them on Around Comics. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, podcasting is still in its infancy. I think we're out of the cradle, but mm-hmm. it's still very early. And I think that it's going to continue to be a marketing tool that I think, like Sal said, that creators are probably more in tune with, because I think there are a lot of, especially artists that listen mm-hmm. to podcasts. We have more. Yeah, more artists that are, you know, chained to their drawing tables. Less writers, because I don't think that they can write and listen, and split their attention. But we have more pencilers and inkers and colorists that will email us and
be as cool as Andy Parks.
Be as cool as Andy Parks. Yeah, I mean it's right. There's something very cool about, you know, having Dave Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
Friend you on Facebook mm-hmm. and say that he enjoys the show, and that's, you know, it's a little mm-hmm. odd, but it's still very, very cool.
Well, Brent Schoonover from Astronaut Dad friended me on Facebook because of this the other day. That blew my mind.
Yeah, Brent's a great guy.
When it comes to like Marvel and DC selling archives and masterworks and even trade paperbacks, I'm not going to help sell the book as far as numbers go and sales figures. But what I can do is I can kind of create a little bit of a buzz as to, and this is really my focus of the show, is what is included as extras in the book, mm-hmm. how it was recolored or what was recolored or what was relettered, what was fixed up, what was touched up, whether it's a golden age, whether it's Identity Crisis.
Exactly what a listener would want.
It's
a resource so that I can go, well, should I buy this or not?
Exactly.
And I
make
think
your own decision.
You know, for podcasts in general, I think that's, you know, one of the biggest pluses for podcasts is that, you know, you get unbiased opinions about books, or maybe not unbiased completely, but you get people's opinions that aren't the writers or the creators, or the artists, editors, whatever. That, you know, people that, and I think that's why it comes in with the personalities. You know, people listen in and then they attach to a personality on a podcast because it seems like them, and then I can trust that person mm-hmm. because when they review something or they talk about a book they really liked, if that's somebody that I seem to have something in common with mm-hmm. you know, or whatever, then
similar
I'm gonna,
taste,
yeah, similar yeah. taste, mm-hmm. or just, you know, personality wise, whatever, then it, you know, makes you go and buy that book. I mean, I've done it too. Vince has recommended stuff to on not to me, but on 11 O'Clock Comics, and mm-hmm. I listen. I go, oh, okay. Now with Vince, it's, you know, sometimes 50-50. but I also, you know, the thing with Vince is that there I can weed out what I think, you know, I would really like and what I don't like
because I know Vince.
Because I've listened, you know, well, I mean, even beyond the fact that I know him personally.
Oh, but you know him through the show.
But knowing him enough through the show that you can do that, and other podcasters too, you know, it's like, I think that's one of the biggest draws of podcasts and why people seem to really enjoy podcasts, comic book podcasts, is because of that connection to, you know, always wanting to find something new or you know, we're constantly buying comics.
Mm-hmm. What?
I mean, that's what we do. That's what, you know, it's like we're constantly.
You guys too?
Looking
too
to
many.
To, yeah, well, but we're always trying to find something new or different or what we'll like.
And you know, on the other side of that, you know, it's sometimes you need to cull what you're buying, and a podcast can kind of help you help guide you in your purchasing habits. Not that we can, you know, control what people buy by any stretch of the imagination, but kind of reinforce that something is good, or maybe it's time to let something go, you know?
Well, right. Sure. And I mean, and just as much as the personality, I think, affects, it's just being able to actually hear the enthusiasm that somebody has for the book. Because at least for me, it's less a specific personality as it is how much that book is clearly affecting somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you can really talk about that book and really sound like you're really enjoying it, that makes – I've picked up books I've dropped because of how enthusiastic people have been about them on podcasts.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and honestly, in the way that comics are done today, and, you know, it's been done like this for a long time. You get new creative teams that jump back and forth from different books, and it's really hard to keep up with them. Oh. You know, I read a lot of comic books and I listen to a lot of podcasts, and it's hard to keep up with. So I think that for a lot of podcasts, you know, I was listening to Chris's CCL the other day in the car. He had a great show on eBay and that was
that was fun.
The Market Watch that
was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, and it was really cool because, you know, I went home and looked in my collection. It's like, oh, I've got that one and that one. Maybe I should sell that on eBay for $75 or whatever. But there's an information aspect of podcasts that help you keep up with stuff.
That's also what we call a fill-in show because I had nothing on my mind.
That was awesome. I raised my hand in the yes. I want you to do. I would love to see that as a regular segment on your show. Just pick something that is kind of going nuts on eBay.
You know, in my research for that book or for that podcast, it was almost more interesting to go on eBay and to see what was selling under value, under cover price, because we know the omnibuses and the absolute, they sell out their limited print. But the stuff that's not limited print, or maybe is, like the Wolverine one I picked up, list price $25. I got it for $11. Yeah. It's like, come on.
You can do some really nice
It was a lot stuff. Of fun yeah. to figure out. And so I'm going to add that in to continuing with the show.
Oh, and by the way, if you have the Bone one volume hardcover, you can grab about $200 for that on eBay these days.
I got to go.
Nightwing, the Chuck Dixon Nightwing trades.
Yeah.
$75.
No.
Yeah.
A trade?
The trade paperback. Volume 2. The digital justice one, I think it was.
Jesus.
Sold for $75.
Who the fuck's reading Chuck Dixon?
I don't know.
Mrs. Dixon. But see, this is. I mean, Chris knows what he's talking about, and he's like, hey, Dick Grayson is now Batman, so there is a heightened interest in Dick Grayson as a character, and these are trades that have gone out of print,
right?
And so now there's a lot of interest in them because people want to know more about Dick Grayson, and
the Dick Grayson trade, it was the Batman run where he became Dick Grayson became Batman the first time, and a lot of people don't realize that Dick was already Batman before, and that was a big thing when that happened, and now it's happening again, but it looks like to be, I don't know, more permanent with quotation marks.
We'll see after Blackest Night.
We'll see. Yeah, exactly.
It looks like it's going to involve less Azrael at any rate.
Don't bring him back.
He is back, isn't he? Isn't there an Azrael trade or a miniseries?
I hope not.
I thought there was.
Hey, you be nice to Denny O'Neil.
I love Denny O'Neil. If he were here right now, I'd give him a hug.
and I'm creepy for wanting Star Wars
to adopt. I didn't say I wanted him to take me home.
And adopt him.
That's creepy.
But Chris, where do you as a podcaster kind of, where do you live?
What's your address?
Yeah. I have your phone number. I can triangulate.
Could you take Chris home tonight?
Hey. Where do you see podcasts going in the next few years? Do you think straight it'll just kind of just continue to plug along, or you see any separation in them?
You know, I think I was actually going to ask that question to Eric, because Eric has interviewed everybody and collectively they probably all answered that question. So I'm going to defer that to the author.
You're allowed.
If I were a better interviewer, I would have asked everyone.
We don't know.
I don't know. I mean, seriously, I think that kind of, not to ruffle any feathers, but I think that the iFanboy model is kind of where things are headed, because the one thing that they've really been able to do that's great is they get, that is, at least for two of them, that's their job now. And to be able to get to that point is, I think, what needs to happen for especially comic book podcasting to really go somewhere, is for you to be able to stop making it a hobby and to be able to really devote a lot of time to it. That's when I think that it's going to really start to innovate and change and grow. And at the same time, I just think that the whole kind of the digital revolution that's going on in the world, by and large, is only helping matters, because as more and more people stop listening to the radios in their car and start listening to satellite radio or just things on their iPod, the more and more in-demand podcasts are going to get. That's the same thing with TV. The more and more people are watching things on Hulu and are watching things on their computer. I mean, the iFanboy video show is available both on the computer and you can get it on your TiVo now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it's a combination of being able to spend more time on it and being able to get it multi-platform that's going to keep things moving. And in the short term, I mean, I think that things are just going to keep – I think you guys are going to be around in 2 years, or at least until I sell out of my book.
There's one caveat to that.
Sal is shaking his head.
There's one caveat to that, and you brought up a very good point, is that it's their job, right? Mm. If you want it to become – right, yeah, you're shaking your head. But do you want it to become their job? Do you want this to become your job? Do you want to create a Windy City Con? Do you want to do a CGS Super Show? Do you want to become a part of Revision 3? Do you want to start help writing books like I have become, which is very cool, by the way, because that's always wanted to do. But that has been my passion is growing because of podcasting, where I know other guys, they still just want to sit in their basement, sit back, pick up what they read this week and tell the world what they thought of Blackest Night or War of Kings or Dark Reign or whatever, and then see you next week kind of thing.
And there's a place for that. You know,
there is a place for that. I think that's beautiful, and I don't mean to – and I hope I don't sound like I'm trying to knock that at all.
It's a because scary. Beautiful is the word I'd use.
Well, no, it's absolutely beautiful that we live in a time and an age where anybody can share their opinions with anybody who's willing to listen to them, you know? I mean, kind of.
Once again, not sure.
That may not be the healthiest thing for society. Yeah, but no, it's,
I know what you mean.
But talking to me, you know, the iFanboy guys, they put a tremendous amount of work into what they do. They're in, I don't want to say a unique position because they've created that position. They've gone out and they've done it. And I talked to Ron quite a bit. We should actually call Ron and get his thoughts on it, which we may do here in just a minute. But by and large, it's a labor of love, or it has to be incredibly diversified. And, you know, Sal and I, this is very much a labor of love. It's something that we, you know, hopefully enjoy doing, and that's we have a good time. It's an excuse to get together and talk about comics. The Windy City Con is something that is separate from what we do, but certainly connected. And with the iFanboy guys, you know, they now have the site, they've got the video show, they've got the audio show, and so they know that doing their weekly audio show isn't the entire pie. Mm-hmm. That they have to do different things to make that model work. And so, you know, that's all part of it.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And I had a thought, and now it's gone.
Well, I tell you what, let's talk to Mr. Rachel. Until the weekend comes to town, play one more for my radio sweetheart. Hide your love, though we are so far apart, you got to hide your love. Mr. Ron Richards, how you doing?
Very good.
Yeah, well, welcome aboard. This is, have we had you on the show before?
Like a couple of years ago, I think, and Tom ran out of the store. He had to go in the parking lot and dial in.
That's right. Well, welcome back, and we are talking podcast tonight. Eric Houston, who you talked to with the Comic Book Podcast Companion, is here.
Hi, Ron.
My favorite book of the year.
Is it the best?
Yeah, it was fantastic. Very handsome men in that book, actually.
Aren't they?
You heard it here first, folks. The iFanboy pick of the year, Comic Book Podcast Companion.
Yes.
He's just saying that because his picture is plastered everywhere.
Yeah. And also we have Chris Marshall.
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
Hey, I just talked to you yesterday.
Yes, we did. But wait a minute, when this podcast comes out, that means we talked 5 days ago.
That's right. I should correct
right, okay.
So how was San Diego?
It's San Diego was awesome.
Awesome.
Well, Ron, we've actually been talking about you guys and how you've been able to kind of turn iFanboy into a job, or at least, you know, somewhat monetize it. And we weren't going to get into any of the specifics of it.
I'm sorry, wait, an ambulance just drove by. Can you
repeat that? Wow, that's not ironic.
We've been talking about you, so I figured that we'd just go ahead and give you a call. And we were talking about iFanboy, how you guys are one of the few, you know, podcasts in general, but definitely comic book podcasts that have been able to kind of turn this into your job. And I guess the question is, you know, what's it been like for you guys to grow the show and create iFanboy and turn it into what it's been to this point?
It's been and that's interesting, because it's been deceivingly simple, because we don't really approach it like a job. It's just kind of something that we do, something that we've always done. Like, actually, I was talking to Josh from iFanboy the other day, and we were talking about what we've been doing, and it's coming on like 9 or 10 years of doing iFanboy, and Josh is like, you know, I don't know of a time in my life when iFanboy wasn't alive in some sort of manner, be it whether we're writing for the site or doing the audio podcast or doing the video podcast. So it's been total just like natural kind of growth, and we just kind of rolled with the punches as they came and took the opportunities when they came. It was never like kind of a master plan or anything like that. And I'd be lying if I said we're not benefiting from all the attention comics are getting with movies and all that kind of stuff, because people go see Iron Man and they want to read the comics and they want to hear a podcast about it. And they listen to us, they listen to you guys, they listen to Chris, they listen to all the other podcasts. So, you know, it's just been that combined with just trying to kick ass every day that we can. So.
All right. Well, you know, one of the things, and we've talked, you know, you can go back and listen to podcast panels from different conventions and that kind of stuff. But, you know, I just want to say one of the things that I've really enjoyed about us doing the show is that I've gotten to know people like Chris Marshall and gosh, Ron, you and I probably talk on a weekly basis. And, you know, obviously the 11 o'clock guys, there's a lot of friendships that, yes. Did I forget somebody? Oh, Eric Houston. Yes, Eric and I.
Chris looked at me.
dear friends.
I'm always the bad guy.
But, you know, has it been for you to get to know so many people, you know, creators, podcasters, listeners from really kind of all around the world?
Yeah, and we talked about this actually in the book. There's a big section when we talked to Eric about this, and that's really been the surprise of doing this, is that never did I ever expect that by doing an audio podcast with my two best friends from college that I would end up meeting you guys and meeting all the other podcasters and becoming friends with, you know, folks like Augie DeBleek and the guys at CBR and other websites, as well as all the creators. I mean, you know, I was a huge lettering fanboy, and when I got to interview Chris Eliopoulos and then, you know, go out to lunch with them and hang out, and then now we email and talk over Twitter and all that kind of stuff, and it's, you know, it's crazy. It's great. I mean, it's a community that is one of the best parts of what that makes it easy to do what we do.
Wait,
we're doing it for our friends, and everybody's kind of enjoying it, mutually, you know, mutually supporting each other. That's what makes it worth it.
Hold on, you were a lettering fanboy. How does that happen?
I was totally a lettering fanboy. Oh, come on! Like, I remember reading, picking up early Image Comics and Tom Waskowski and then Chris Eliopoulos and Todd Klein. I mean, lettering is where it's at. Oh, screw the art. It's all about the lettering.
You know, Ron, we've uncovered another geeky layer to you. That's.
This isn't a secret. I've come out as a lettering nerd for years. I mean, Augie's a lettering nerd too. I mean, it's like good lettering. You don't notice good lettering, and that's why it's one of the more underrated parts of the comic book.
They are the offensive linemen of comic books. You only notice them when they're bad.
You notice bad lettering. I mean, come on, Chris. You work in design. You notice bad lettering. Bad lettering can ruin a book.
I loathe poor kerning. It bothers me to no end.
Exactly.
So you have San Diego coming up, which obviously you're going to be doing video and audio for that. What else can we look forward to with iFanboy coming up after the convention?
I mean, I wish we had some big announcement or anything like that, but we're not really in that kind of business. I mean, we're just, you know, we do the audio podcast. We're going to be doing it from San Diego. We'll be doing we'll probably get a couple of video episodes out of San Diego as well. I've been lining up some interviews. And then looking at iFanboy.com as we kind of grow that community and that website. I mean, that's been the real kind of growth place for us this year, and that the website has really exploded. We got a bunch of new writers
and a lot of people are coming on the board and using the pull list function and commenting and stuff like that. So we're just going to be trying to get as many people to the website as we can and kind of take part in the party that goes on over there. And I know, you know, every Wednesday when we do our pick of the week, the comment section is becoming the new place to be to for the community freak out because Josh picked the wrong book or something.
Nice. Well, now that I've let you plug your site and show, what convention are you looking forward to the most this year?
Oh, San Diego. I can't wait to go to San Diego. Oh. Just a couple of days is my favorite place. No, I'm kidding.
Son of a bitch.
Comic Con is the number one event in the comics industry right now. I will be in Chicago for the Windy City Comic Con. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
All right. I've got your inflatable mattress all ready for you.
That's probably too much information.
Hey Ron, I did want to ask you about ifanboy.com. Did you get the last few Blackest Night pulls to make it the number one book ever?
That was completely the community that we did. As of right now, the most pulled book on my family ever has been Blackest Night number one.
Nice.
But that said, every week it seems as if we have a new most pulled book. Before that, it was Batman and Robin number one. like as each of these big books come out, more people are pulling them and more people come to the website. So I wouldn't be surprised if the next big event book is the most pulled book after this one.
Nice.
Ron, I got a question for you. A few weeks back, you did your Miracle Man video, and which was awesome, going over all the issues. That was fantastic. But my question is, do you own those yourself, or did the three of you buy those issues together? How did all those issues come to be right in front of you guys?
It's a kind of a couple of different reasons why. I do own those issues. They're in my collection. A couple years back, I came across at a convention, somebody who had a whole run, and I just said, well, I've heard so much about this, let me buy it. And then Connor did the same, but years ago he bought them off eBay. Mm-hmm. But those actual issues that we had in front of us at the show were ones that actually an audience member had donated to us.
Wow, very cool.
So,
no
which is pretty cool. So,
Our listeners suck.
Wow.
Oh, Jose, well, just pointed out.
They'll be sure to send you stuff now, Chris.
Well, Ron, I don't want to take up too much of your time tonight. I know you've got fun stuff going on there in San Francisco, but I can't wait to see you in September. Looking forward to it, and continued success with everything that you guys are doing at iFanboy.
Thank you so much, and I'm bummed I couldn't be there for the podcast party. I'm sure that there's tons of girls and drinking, and that's probably the place to be right now, but I'm missing out. So.
There's definitely drinking, but
yeah. Yeah, lots of strippers and blow, Ron.
But I think John Suntress will be wearing a dress at some point.
Yeah, actually,
I want to do a line of blow off a copy of X Factor. Can you make that happen? <That's awesome.
laughs> Nice. We're not taking it out of the poly bag. That's not happening.
We do have Suntress and Mike Norton and Steve from Comic Book Queers just came in. So.
Hi, Ron.
When you called me, I was just had to press pause on my iPod as I was listening to Bendis talk to Suntress again.
Again. He's still talking.
Again,
still talking.
Bendis is still talking.
What could we possibly not know about Brian Bendis at this point? That's what I wonder.
All right, Ron. I will talk to you soon, my man. You have a great night. Tell Josh
and Connor. Guys. Have fun.
All right. Tell Josh and Connor we said hi.
Will do.
All right.
Bye, Ron. Bye, Ron.
Later.
This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Netflix. Right now, you can start a free 2-week trial by going to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics. At Netflix, you'll find over 100,000 titles to choose from, including classics and new releases, as well as TV series. Plans start from as low as $4.99 per month, and you can keep each movie as long as you want with no late fees ever. Netflix has free shipping both ways, and you can expect your next selection to be delivered in about one business day. Now watch some movies and TV shows over the internet for no extra charge. I use this service on my Xbox 360 and personal laptop. You know it. I love it. So head over to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics and get started with your free trial today. Someone
else, and I will be your stranger, just pretending. Moonstar Martins, Mary Lakers, I let you into fire and fingers. Want somebody else? Want somebody else? Want somebody else? Want somebody else?
All right, well, we are, we're going to switch things up here a little bit. This is kind of an Around Comics first. We're going to have no one from the Around Comics podcast on
line
here.
Line change.
Replacing Brian Salazar is Stevie D from the Comic Book Queers.
At Right Wing.
Yo! Replacing Chris Marshall is...
I'm the center.
Your center?
Yeah.
Okay. You are Mr. Mike Norton from the Crankcast.
Oh.
And I guess, should I say playing goalie?
Sure.
Are these sports references?
I just want to be the enforcer, actually.
He's the enforcer. So, he's the brute.
I'd like to be the goon if I could.
I'm going
to
step away.
No, that's wrestling. That I know.
I'm going to step away and be ably filled in for by Mr. John Suntress. So here you go, John.
He's putting on the foil.
We'll be back in a few minutes, or I will be.
I'm still here, by the way, everybody, so... No worries
I was
there.
Say, poor Eric is still there.
You're the mascot.
This is like if what? This were the Jerry Lewis telethon. This is when like Ed McMahon and Jerry were asleep and Chad Everett would take over for a couple hours.
We're the 4 a.m.
Yeah, we're here with the 7-Eleven people. Thank you for your check at 3 a.m. So thank you. And let's cut to Topo Gigio, the fine mouse puppet that everyone loves so.
Oh, Eddie.
Even he's asleep.
Well, you're the constant, so you tell us what you guys were just talking about.
Yeah, so,
the constant.
Yeah.
What did we miss
on the handout?
Exactly.
Mm. Previously on Around Comics.
Exactly. So
we talked at length about podcasting and how that's going.
I heard Ron.
That's
we had Ron. Crazy. We had Ron Richards on. We're trying to get everybody who's in the book on the show.
Very nice.
Oh, that's a good idea.
We have a book to sell.
You know, we got him here. So seriously, if nobody liked their chapter, I say let's put him down.
I really have a problem with the pictures, but that's my fault because you asked. Really?
Did you send the pictures?
How
to
about
him,
the
Mike?
Shots of me as a human, you know, reclining chair?
Hi, hi.
I am the Orson Welles of comic book podcast.
You look like
Eric, you're only as good as the material you were given, and unfortunately, it was a lot of me.
Oh, well, I mean,
that's all right.
It's coming off though. Look
God bless
you.
Well, all of my pictures were fantastic because I took them.
Stevie, you're
and I posed for them.
You and Eric, you guys
so
look
they
great.
Were great,
and you had nice celebrity shots as well.
Yeah,
Gail.
Yeah, did we have Gail? No, we didn't have Gail.
There's a shot of Eric with Gail.
The interview that never was.
Yeah, I'm gonna thumb through.
Go for it.
And you know, have you mentioned the overseas quiet panelologist, for example?
We have not talked much about the quiet panelologist. What do you have to say?
You know, I figure because it's probably midnight when we're taping, and so we're actually leaving later in the evening, so they're either out partying or asleep. But I really enjoyed their chapter, and what I really liked about the book in general was that I hope people who read it really understand that we really do all like each other. You know, and I mean, honestly,
is that a problem?
No, I think that's nice. No, I just think that's nice. Well, coming from
radio. Let's talk about
the
podcast we don't like now.
Oh, I'd be glad to. Let's start.
No. All right, let's, I was kidding. Please, let's not do that.
There's this one I've heard called Crankcast.
Oh,
hate him.
Well,
sons of bitches.
Okay, that's an easy target because I'll do that.
That one's in the book on a dare.
No, but John and Matt, for example, from... quiet panelologists and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Very nice guys that I've only like spoken to through email, and you know, that was really nice. And
I've never talked to them.
Actually, so. I think CBQ owns John's ass. He put it up for auction.
Excellent.
And one of
us won.
Yeah, well, we didn't
what
win.
Did
we didn't bid. Actually,
oh, okay.
It was my friend Quip from the Nerdcast. He bid and he won. Apparently, he was the only one.
And obviously, he
and
didn't
they decided,
care about it,
yeah.
So he gave it
no,
to
he
him.
Didn't. He said, we're going to give him over to a CBQ.
Wow,
and I
that's
thought,
cool.
We
that's
own
how
John's
much your ass.
What are we going to do with that?
Wow.
You just. I'm thinking that lyric from Baby Got Back. You pull up quick to read.
Yeah, I'll leave the lyrics of Sir Mix-a-Lot to you.
So oh, come on.
That's quite all right.
The little in the middle?
No, the pull up quick to retrieve it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So are you, I started doing video and I put up a WordTube page or a YouTube page, and every now and then I'm out.
The WordTube?
Yeah. Well,
I like
WordTube. You know, seriously, that's what I should probably call my videos.
It's too late now.
You heard it here first.
It's out there.
WordTube. I've been calling them WordTube. Hi, how you doing?
You can have that.
But I like WordTube. That's good. Ooh. Ooh. All right. I think I'm on to an empire. But no, I mean,
piece of podcasting history recorded.
I know Crank right now has shot a little bit of video when he was still up in Chicago. I know he came to Drink and Draw one night.
Yeah. He would get on these little tears sometimes where he's like, I got a camera, I'm gonna use it. And he would start threatening to actually video cast us.
I was thinking about doing it for a while and then I decided I was gonna do it. And I have to talk.
Right. It's sort of there.
I'm getting there. Yeah.
You could probably do all of us right now.
It's amazing to watch you work these out. It's so cool. It's like a guy in a workshop.
I'm quietly taking notes in the corner, or I'm listening at home when I hear the podcast.
Yeah, he would threaten to do that, and we'd always get in, and it would be like a 2-minute discussion, and he realized, oh yeah, but it's probably not a good idea.
That, or I don't want to end up being like Uncle Bob either. Like, hey, I've got the Super 8 millimeter out. Yeah, we are at the barbecue. Look at you
chasing a dog.
Exactly.
In the woods for three hours.
I'm trying to figure out the right events to do and the right ones not to and stuff. And also, like, poor Mike. I mean, I think Chris and Mike have been my two constant subjects.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Oh.
You know, like, I made him go out.
He doesn't even know anymore.
It was either during Amber Benson signing at Challengers or someone else's signing, but like it was blinding out like sunlight.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And I'm like, literally, like, Mike, burn your retinas for 5 minutes talking to me about Green Arrow.
Nobody's gonna look at this. They're gonna think I'm doing some kind of
I can't draw anymore now that I talked to John. Yeah. But okay, that's all right.
I'm blinded.
So yeah, have you guys?
We've done some videos. We haven't done any for quite a while, but we did an answer to the Two Girls One Cup video. We did Two Fags and One Issue of Alpha Flight.
Oh man.
And that was kind of gross.
Was it the issue, I think?
It was the coming out issue.
All right.
It was gross. Nice. We ate ho-hos.
That's the, I'm gay!
Yeah.
He's screaming it, and he's like,
He finds the AIDS baby. He has to come
Doesn't
out.
He find the baby in a dumpster?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I am always excited about the skits that are performed at the Comic Book Queer Podcast.
He's like sacre bleu, there's a baby, and he goes over and picks him up, and I am gay.
I the pictures burn into my brain just because it's that '90s art where he's just like every muscle is flexing, and he's just I'm gay. Like, I'm just like, what the?
Seriously, that should be the next Nancy Boy Theater.
Yeah, I think it's going to be honest with you.
There you go.
I think that's the way.
That's, you know, really, that maybe that's time for a Nancy Boy Theater separate podcast and stuff. You can bring back old radio.
I think we're getting there.
Did you guys know in Chicago, Alex Ross's collaborator on Uncle Sam, Steve Darnell, the guy who wrote the story, has taken over the legendary old-time radio show that's been on Chicago radio literally for like 35 years.
No, I never heard of that. Yeah.
And it's called Those Were the Days, and it's on, it used to be on a regular commercial radio station. It's moved to one of the public radio stations, the College of DuPage's public station, WDCB. And it's Saturday afternoons from 1 to 5, and Steve just took over this month. And I'm going to try and get him on Word Balloon because Hillary was telling me, Hillary Barta, he's like, you like old radio? He goes, this friend of mine is doing an old radio show. I'm like, he's doing Those Were the Days? He's taking over for Chuck Shaden? And that's Steve Darnell? So that was really cool.
Well, that's fun.
Have you ever read his romance comics? Very funny.
No.
Honestly, no, he did some really – whoops. He did some – don't put me in front of any equipment. That was totally a video moment on radio. But he did – he's like in the 90s or early 2000s, he did like parodies of the romance comics and stuff.
Wait,
very funny.
I read a couple. I think that Keith Giffen did.
Keith Giffen did a couple.
Yeah, he did a couple. Oh, he did some of those too then.
Who did that True romance comic?
That was it.
Okay. That's very funny.
Steve Darnell.
I love that.
It's great.
No wonder he likes old-time radio. He likes old-time comics.
I also like the stuff that Giffen did for Boom, and I like What Were They Thinking?
Oh, the monster comics and stuff?
Yeah.
Those are really funny.
Yeah, he rewrote dialogue for like 50s and 40s comics and stuff. Very funny stuff.
Well, do you remember like about 10 years ago they were going to do that as Mystery Science Theater?
No.
They were like release. I remember the releases coming out on, you know, the news sites and stuff that they were going to do a Mystery Science Theater comic and just do that, but with the little silhouettes at the bottom of the panels.
Sure.
And then, you know, they didn't.
Would they do it like Fumetti, where it would be the photographs as opposed to
I could never figure out how you would do it that it wouldn't be really annoying.
Well, I read their book, the book about their show.
Oh, yeah. And that's great.
Like that
I can't imagine like having a comic book and then having that little silhouette at the bottom of every panel, especially like a 60s book where there's like 12 panels on the page.
Yeah, when you change the crux of what makes the show work, it doesn't
work anymore, sometimes it falls apart. Have you been listening to Riff Tracks?
I haven't tried any of those, but I really want to.
Have you seen Cinematic Titanic?
Yes, and that's Joel Hodgson's group, right?
Right, right. I prefer that.
Now, too many of them.
Because Riff Trax has Kevin Murphy, who is Tom Servo, and Mike Nelson,
and then the guy who was Crow, the
second
at the
Crow.
End.
Yeah, Bill Bill Corbett, I want to say, and then Starship Titanic has Trace Ballou.
Cinematic Titanic is Joel, Trace.
Trace was the first
Frank.
Crow. TV's Frank.
Mary Jo Peel.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Oh, wow.
And Josh Weinstein, who was Tom Servo for like the first year.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw him.
Yeah.
And he was before TV's Frank, I want to say. He was
right,
Dr.
right.
Forrester's
he was also, he, I
assistant.
Think, Dr. Earnhardt. I'm a total geek.
That sounds right.
Wow. No, yeah, gee. I was just going
to call
you out on that.
I'm sorry, sir. You're going to have to leave.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, what I like about that, though, is that I feel like that one's a little bit more like Mystery Science Theater, not just because it's the silhouettes on the screen and everything, but because they're really doing the old B movies and stuff.
Sure.
Whereas Riff Trax, I feel like, sometimes does movies that are too good.
Like which one?
Well, like they've done Casablanca.
Riff Trax did Casablanca?
They've done Casablanca, and I just feel like, and like I've tried watching those because I'm not like opposed. I'm not like, well, Kiss, you can't make fun
right,
of
yeah,
Casablanca.
I understand. No.
But I find when I try to watch those, I don't pay any attention to the comments because I'm much more interested in the movie.
Than actually watching the real
That's
movie.
That's interesting.
Because I liked their Daredevil Riff
Trax. I haven't seen that.
I'm gonna try them because I, you know, sit and draw all day. You gotta have something. Yeah. So
this is about your albums of Toto isn't doing it for you anymore.
Well, you get tired of them.
Why
after
do we
a while,
make believe,
you know?
We're in love again?
See, look what you've done. So let's talk about who's called and emailed you yelling that they're not in the book.
Nobody.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Nobody has complained about not being in the book. Honestly.
Because there's 57,000 podcasts.
Yeah,
there are, and I would have liked to have included everyone, and it was a space concern. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, I really wanted to have a diverse group of podcasters in the book as well. So I didn't want to have, you know, three different panel shows in the book and three different, you know, solo interview shows.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's, you know, John, you kind of represent the solo interview side of things.
Fantastic.
Round Comics kind of does the panel thing. Crankcast is kind of the
nothing,
the
thing.
Pro, the nothing, or the, at least the professional comic creator show.
Okay. Don't even say it.
Well, and even the shades of difference between
don't
like,
even say
like
it.
Chris and Augie.
You guys know? Represent the well dressed sector.
You guys are the free eggs. You're kind of off center. Well, we know that. Thanks.
we love.
Except now we're mainstream. Have you read X Factor?
Yeah.
Mainstream.
Oh, don't spoil. Don't spoil.
Oh, are you a trade waiter?
Well, I guess I'm a nothing waiter because I haven't read an issue of it yet. So.
Man.
But I can't wait.
But no, so seriously, that was, and that's why I wanted to include that section in the back where
you list all the shows.
I list a bunch of shows. And so everybody who gets mentioned in the book is in there. So like if you guys in your interviews mentioned, well, I like this show.
Right.
I wanted to put their contact information in the back. And, you know, and yeah, and outside of that, I don't know what to say.
No, that's, you know. The my favorite photos though are from 2006 because that's when the first San Diego Comic-Con panel was. And actually, if this show is going to be released on Monday leading into the week of San Diego, I know that they're doing another podcasting panel. I know Ryan Richards is moderating.
Okay.
And I want to say Comic Book Page, Comic Geek Speak. God, I'm blanking and I apologize, guys.
Joe and Jimmy,
thank you. Comic News Insider. And is there one other show? It's just the four of them. Chris is like whispering in the back. Is it Indy Spinnerack, I believe.
Yeah,
yes. Spinnerack. Thank you. Charlie Doe and Mr. Phil. There you go. Thank you, Jose. Excellent. Because I didn't want to screw anybody up like Eric did in terms of not putting him in the book. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
No.
Honestly, I'm
teasing.
Well, and I would like to do another one. I mean,
you're going
to
do an update.
Yeah. Son of comic book
podcast companion.
I was just going to say that. That's why I've been calling it to people. But I mean, but that's the thing is people are going to need to buy this one. And if this one sells well enough, I'll be able to do the other one. And yeah, especially get like Indie Spinner Rack. And like Comic News Insiders are a couple of guys who I really felt bad about being able to include.
Man, and I want to give it up for those guys because, man, Indie Spinnerack in particular, have you seen like, you know, their collections and everything? Incredible stuff. I really love
the book?
The anthologies that they've put together.
I mean, they walk the walk. So.
Indeed. And I was going to say, like, in 06, me and the iFanboy guys, although Josh wasn't there, so it was me, Ron, and Connor, Augie and Chris Marshall, we all got like to know each other even better and really hung out and were laughing all weekend. And even Chris wasn't there, unfortunately, Sunday night. But as we were flying back, like Ron, Connor and Augie and I all had dinner. And that's where the love fest began.
Got the lotion and tissue.
Right? Absolutely,
just,
man.
It just happens.
I'm telling you, we put Love Story on. We all
San
start
Diego,
a weeping.
What happens there?
What do you say about a podcaster who died?
No, it's neat to see those. It's funny that there are pictures from the podcast.
I don't
now,
say anything, I laugh.
Chris and I were sitting next to each other. It was like, you know, dueling Fred Flintstones and everything. that was kind of scary, but true.
Wow.
But true.
You were Goodman and he was the British guy?
Augie and I were talking about
there you go. But that was really neat. And really, yeah, where podcasting has gone since then is very interesting. And I think it's an experiment that continues. And
well, and that's something we talked about before you guys sat down. What do you think? Where do you think podcasting is headed?
Oh, you're asking us?
Yeah. You guys already talked about that.
Where is it
headed? Do you have another idea?
No, let's talk about something else.
Okay, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I don't know. Back to Mystery Science Theater 3000. Let me tell you.
No, I'm not that much of a nerd.
Okay.
I never really got into it.
All right,
that.
Fine.
Oh, you just have a little show on the internet where you talk about comics.
No, I'm just hanging out on a Friday night in a fucking comic book store.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, I'm the nerd that wrote a book about it.
Are you going to the Dave McKean thing this weekend?
Is that this weekend?
It is.
Yeah, I more than likely will, yeah.
Cool. All right, I'm going tomorrow. I'll see you there.
It's a silent movie thing, right?
They're showing, McKean, by this time it'll be over, but McKean is going to show this exhibit in San Diego as well. It's oil paintings that are based on very early 1900s silent films.
Oh, yeah.
Georges Méliès, who did
Earth to the Moon.
Earth to the Moon, thank you. And
Film School Education coming out.
Attaboy. But no, they're beautiful paintings. And then also he's showing, and I always get the name wrong, Mirror Mask?
Yes.
Mirror Mask, the film that he made with Neil Gaiman.
That was good.
Yeah, and so that's really neat, and I know he's been doing signings in town and everything. So I'm.
Are they showing anything else?
Actually, Porky's.
Yes.
Now what you all came for, Porky's. All right, the other thing too,
I love Neil Gaiman's Porky's influence.
My Porky's.
I haven't been in the Portage Theater since they remodeled it. I know I mentioned this on a previous Around Comics episode, but if you didn't hear, the Public Enemies movie about John Dillinger. The exteriors were shot in front of the Biograph. The interiors, though, were shot at another Chicago theater, the Portage, which is on the northwest side of the city, and had really gotten run down. And it was kind of this nice saving grace where the movie people came in and restored the theater to look like the inside of the Biograph in the 30s. So that's great because, now we got another good, cool theater. And they're showing...
The Biograph's jealous.
They're showing really neat movies, though, at Portage and, like, cool independent stuff and great, like, Don Glut when he was here, did his horror movie and everything.
Yeah. Oh, neat.
So, and there was a really cool punk documentary about Chicago punk that they showed over there.
Oh, nice.
So it's a very cool little independent theater. Yeah. So
fascinating.
There you go.
Check that out.
Is that cultural enough for you, Steve?
Yeah, it works for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now back to podcasts.
Just going
to
talk about like
and now
TV
back to Cinecast.
Who is your favorite podcast to write about?
Who is my favorite podcast to write about?
Yes.
Oh, shit. I like Norton's gone Mike Wallace on us.
I liked writing about all of you.
Yeah, that's a chicken
I'll tell you. I'll tell you one of my favorite things in the book. Is when I was interviewing you and Crank.
I didn't ask for you to kiss my ass.
I know. But like you're going to you're going to feel complimented and then you're going to punch me. Oh, so it's going to be fine. When I was interviewing the two of you, we talked about a bunch of stuff, and among the things we talked about were your interview style.
Okay.
And
like at the 24-hour podcast.
Right.
Well. I guess we're done with you. And I got nothing more to say. It's like, it was like watching Gunsmoke and like hearing the marshal, like, well, we're all done with you. And we're going to hang you now. So,
exactly.
Judge and Roy Bean, you kind of are.
And it was great for me that when we got to the end of the interview, I said, those are all the questions I have. And Mike just went, good. So that's in the book.
Can I tell you, showed my chapter to a couple friends and, I had to ask. I'm like, is it me or do I sound like I'm rambling, like I'm on a cocaine binge or something like that? Because
I thought you stayed pretty well on top.
All right, because I felt very when I read it. I'm like, damn man, this is like the electric Kool-Aid acid test. I never shut up.
Well, I mean, it's something I talked to Sal a little bit.
No, well, you would know. You tell me. I'm not aware of it.
I bet.
Exactly.
Okay.
But I mean, if you look in the book, you. And Chris Marshall and then Augie DeBleek are the only interviews in there where it's just you and me.
That's true, yeah.
And if you look at Augie's interview, Augie's interview is the exact same thing.
Okay.
And that's because you don't have Sal and Tom Caters interrupting you every other sentence, you know? So
honestly, that is...
Not in a bad way, but I mean just because you've got three guys each offering a part of the story.
I would say if it was you and Augie, you're probably pretty regimented, you know, kind of...
We cancel each other out.
Well, no, I'm saying you guys... are very, I mean, measured. It's not like you're going to go off the track too much. I mean,
no. And I mean, and I did edit the book. I didn't just,
okay.
I don't recall you going off on too many tangents.
You edited my swearing. I know I swear. I did shitload more.
I had to edit everybody's swearing so it could be a family book.
I understand.
The best was last time I was here, Tom was flipping through his section and he went, hey, there's a part in here where it says, where I say, forget that. I said fuck that.
Well, I referred to iTunes as being like I don't know how, that's a fuck cluster. I saw, and he's like, that's a freaking ball of wax, and I'm like, wow. I know I didn't say that.
I didn't even notice. I read my section. I thought, wow, I can't believe I kept it really that clean.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah, I said mother loving snakes on this.
Yes.
Well, I talked to the Nerdcast guys on Sunday. And they were asking me a little bit about your interview, and I said, "Yeah, that was one where I had to do the most swearing editing." You and Matt Fraction.
Really, I see that with Fraction, definitely. Yes.
Fuck is my favorite word. It's the most versatile word in the English language. Well,
if this sells well, Comic Book Podcast Companion Uncut.
Ooh.
No,
Comic Podcasters Gone Wild.
Man, are we gonna do the 24-hour thing again?
I don't know.
I see, and that's why I'm looking at you, Den Mother, because
you have to organize it.
Yeah, I gotta figure something out.
I mean,
I'm not against doing it. I just gotta figure something out.
I'd be sleeping bag.
I'm not doing the 3 a.m. to 8 a.m. thing.
Screw it. Stevie, do what I did, and I think you guys did actually. Like, you dipped in and out.
Eric did actually. I came in, I think we came in at 10 a.m.
Okay.
On Sunday.
Yeah. Earlier than me.
I took off, and then Eric took off, and then he came back later.
He came
on.
Back, okay. Yeah.
Because that's what I did too. Yeah, I like kind of checked out for like 6 hours and then came. Back.
I think if I did it again, one, I'd keep on top of Crank with the mechanical issues just because.
Yeah, that was tough.
Well,
you poor guy.
I warned him beforehand too, and he still didn't.
For people who don't know, we had really bad.
He lost like the first 3 hours.
Yeah.
And also, it's pretty much, I mean, he said he had it under control, and I told him, it's been my experience. Nothing ever goes right, so you better test this stuff out first. And
we didn't.
So yeah.
Well, you know,
and then you had to go to the coffee shop to.
Yeah, I was uploading as we were going.
Yeah, we didn't have good Wi-Fi over at Dark Tower.
I think if we did it again, we'd figure that stuff out weeks in advance, and I would actually try to go to sleep at some point.
I will bring one of my coats, and we will line it with tinfoil, and I think it'll give a good dish effect, like satellite dish effect, and I think I think we'll get good reception.
There you go.
You know, we're pulling in TV from PayGal. Fantastic.
It's not doing that well. John, give us your pants.
Right away. Yes, Steve.
I say screw it. We keep talking about it. Let's just keep going.
Just start
24
now.
Hours All right. now.
All right, we're here. I'm off on Monday.
There you go.
I am off on Monday.
Well, let's keep going, gang.
Anyone going? Are you going to San Diego?
No.
Okay.
I kind of wish, but I also am glad.
I know you're going to Adventureland. I know you're excited about it.
Come on over to Adventureland. Anybody from Iowa knows that song.
Boy. You got listeners in Iowa.
I always wanted to go to San Diego, but all the stuff that I've heard that I've been reading about it recently the past couple years, fuck it. I don't want to go.
What, like too crowded,
yeah,
too
it's
congested?
Too crowded, too Hollywood. Yeah,
you know what? I feel the same way. I mean, and I'll be like this next week when I'm watching it on G4. I'll be like, man, it'd be nice to be there. And then I think about, oh, yeah, I wanted to go home on the first day when I was there last time. It's a cool thing. And if you've never been, you definitely have to
go. Yeah, you got
to
go at least once.
I have never been. I would like to go
if
once.
If you've never been, you need to go. But it can be fun. You just, it's...
But the trend now
definitely is too much fun.
The trend now, it looks like they're actually starting to have more and more stuff away from the con.
I didn't know
like
about what that.
Like this year I saw I've already seen two different events that are happening. One with Stan Lee. Oh.
What am I doing?
That's saying this isn't the right hotel. I don't get it's but they're not actually at the convention center. They're somewhere else.
It's just him speaking. It's just doing a kind of panel.
It's a panel.
That's
off
interesting. The year the last year I went, which was 2007, they were showing 300 at.
That's the last time I went.
And yeah, that's right. Yeah, we were hanging a little bit, and it was at the San Diego Padres. I forget what it's called. Conseco.
Oh, okay. I don't
know. No, Conseco's
Petco. I don't know what those are.
Petco.
There's
Petco,
balls.
Thank
there's
you.
Things.
Thank
I don't know.
Yes. And that was hilarious because literally people were cheering at the battle scenes like you'd hear in a sporting event. And they had several thousand people there. Oh, it was God, very, very cool.
That would be kind of neat, though. That
would be really neat. Cool.
So that was neat.
I'm kind of glad I've missed the Twilights. And the-
yeah, I'm with you there. Or when last year, I know at some of the private parties, Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian showed up. And hey, don't get me wrong. I love
hot
women.
You know what? When that they might as well have just worn shirts that had sharks jumping out of the water. You know, if they show up to your party,
wait, are you
that's
saying
what I mean? Yes,
that,
yeah,
that is Paris Hilton's jump the shark moment.
No, that's San Diego.
Yeah, okay.
Wow, San Diego.
When they show up, they need to have.
I was gonna say, I think Paris Hilton jumped the shark along.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I like who the hell even told Paris Hilton or Kim Kardashian about this fucking
it's
thing?
Hot.
Those girls didn't know anything about it.
I think she, you know,
comics are hot.
Exactly. Paris had like
Spider-Man.
Probably House of Wax 2 or some bullshit.
Yeah. I would be interested in seeing whatever backroom club party it was. It really was like the
DC party.
I want to see who the person was that convinced her that that was a cool thing to do. Because that's the only reason why she was there.
Hey, Paris, you want to go to San Diego? Okay, let's go.
Because in 2006 or 2007, I remember Rosario Dawson was there, but she was doing that book with the 12
boys.
But
she's like into genuine interest in that.
And no, absolutely. No, her nerd cred is solid. Absolutely. And no, lovely conversation. She's sweet as hell. Very, very nice lady.
All right, I'm back. That should be interesting to go back and hear for the first time and edit.
Give that one a shot, yeah.
Yeah, heavy editing. Yeah, you know that. Well, Steve, you are, you know, I'll talk about this and then we'll wrap this puppy up.
Yeah.
You are the primary editor of CBQ. So you feel my pain.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
you can't get any of us to shut up, except for me.
That was the greatest innovation ever to this show is whenever I was able to multi-track record, and so everybody is on their own track. So,
oh God, I wish I could do that.
It's so nice
because
Sal, I can just turn him off.
Well,
you just did right now.
I just did right there.
But, he's pissed.
No, it's this is a labor of love. We enjoy doing this, and I hope that came through in the talks that we had with everyone tonight. But you know, there is a certain amount of labor to that. You know, it's labor and love. It's two different things, and there's a lot of time that goes into it. But none of us would do it if we didn't enjoy it.
Exactly.
And there are some great benefits to doing this. I've had the chance to meet so many people, everyone in this room tonight, everyone that was on the show, and you know, Ron, who we called, and just listeners from all over the world freaked out. Next week, you'll hear an email from China.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We have a listener.
Don't tease us.
That is awesome.
Well, you'll have to come back next weekend and listen to that. So, you know what? Like I said at the top, this is something that we rarely, if ever, do is turn the microphones around on us and talking about comics. And I hope that you
for the first time we've
it.
Truly been around.
We've been around comics. And you know, I promise that we won't do this you know again for a long, long time till you know comic book podcast companion.
Son of the comic book
the
podcast
son companion. Of the comic book podcast companion comes out. But you know, I hope you found it interesting. Just a variety of voices of people that do this. And Eric who took a lot of time and energy to put this book together, which kind of gives some interesting insight, especially at that time, because that kind of froze in time that where everybody was on their shows.
Definitely.
Around comics has changed since this book came out and will continue to change.
CBQ has
and
evolved and changed.
So it's
but
it's
the interviews are still valid.
Oh, absolutely.
That's still the valid. Thing. You know, talk about a labor of love. This, the fact that you went ahead and did this, that you were like, I think there should be a book about this.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I'm surprised people didn't laugh in your face.
Well, you did.
But second off,
you want to do what?
Didn't know that you were actually paying attention. But I'm really glad that you guys did this, and I know
you.
I've been telling people about it, not so much on our show. But on our message boards and random blog and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know, random people
don't
on the
mention
street.
The podcasting book on your podcast.
I don't know.
Please don't.
I think
that.
I did it once.
Yeah, but you know, this is glad that you were able to come down and this.
Well,
is,
thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hopefully,
and thank you guys for doing it. By the way,
you know, Chicago has, in this very weird way, kind of turned into a comic book podcasting hub. I guess there's, you know, some really, really good shows out of the sea of comic book podcasts that are out there. And once again, it's great to be able to know people from New York and Pennsylvania and San Francisco and all the different cities and small towns that these podcasts come out of. So, you know, I hope that people continue to do it and listeners continue to listen. It's really been a pretty awesome symbiotic relationship between shows and communities and people. So
absolutely,
it's cool. So, you know, hopefully we'll come back to you with episode we're at 243. We'll come back with episode 486 and
good.
I'll be here.
So, once again, Mr. Eric Houston, thank you for coming down.
Thanks for having me. And again, and seriously, thank you for all your help. You were one of the first guys I talked to and were so enthusiastic about the idea and so much help. Get me in touch with everybody else. Thank you.
It was a pleasure to help out with, and it turned out great. So once again, go to Amazon, go to Tomorrow's Inside
Podcast
Trade.
40 off at tomorrows.com.
There you go. And Steve, since everyone else has abandoned us, thank you for doing
screw
everything
them.
You do.
You know what? You're welcome, Chris. Chris, you're welcome. Eric, you're welcome.
Thank you, Steve.
Hank, you're welcome. That's what I thought.
Hank is in the house. We'll skip over most of our regular announcements. Just remember, you can email the show at info@aroundcomics.com. You can follow all the Around Comics folks on Twitter. Remember to check out the Windy City Comic Con. We just announced our last batch of guests. You may have a couple surprise guests here, but the core of 76 some odd creators has been announced.
Sweet.
And Steve, you'll be there.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, awesome. I'm getting a t-shirt again this year, right?
Here's the design right over there.
Oh, hell yeah.
Audio. Yeah. So hopefully t-shirts will be available online soon.
Oh,
maybe,
nice.
Maybe wink, wink, nod. if we can get them produced and get them on the site. So once again, everyone, thank you for our show for almost 4 years of podcasting. Appreciate your listenership. Lots more stuff coming up in the future. And in the meantime.
In between time.
Thank you. We'll be everywhere in.
And around. Comics.
And the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2009.